It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for May 13th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Verizon's purchase of AOL for $4.4 billion will mean a lot of changes. Arianna Huffington and the Huffington Post will have a new set of bosses. Verizon will have a new set of media companies, online video properties, and advertising technologies. Giant company gulps formerly giant company, yada, 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 and our lives go on. But if we want to get at the heart of this, we should learn from Temple University telecom law professor Salil Mehra about something called Baxter's Law.
There was a law professor, William Baxter, Bill Baxter, and he basically came up with a concept, which is that if you have a monopoly, a regulated monopoly, I should say, they have an incentive to enter adjacent industries that are unregulated and perhaps bundle their regulated service together with the unregulated service and to try to earn higher prices in the adjacent areas when they could not do so in the regulated area. The oncoming regulation of broadband as a utility by the FCC, the sort of net neutrality regulation we've been hearing about, potentially is a driver for firms that might be regulated in broadband to try to move into adjacent markets.
This is what we might be seeing in this case, is Verizon saying, oh, I guess we're not going to win this net neutrality battle, so let's figure out another way that we can make money in an area that's unregulated, and that's why we're going to bolt on AOL.
It is a theory that could apply here.
Can you tell me how all of this is going to impact me as a consumer?
Transactions like this have the possibility of allowing Verizon to get some of the same benefits they would have without net neutrality, but to do so through this integration into adjacent markets. You know, one of the big issues that comes up in net neutrality debates is the possibility of, you know, Verizon being prohibited or companies like Verizon being prohibited from charging for a fast lane to certain content providers. Say, for example, Netflix. Well, one way to go around that would be to have your own Netflix. Instead of charging paid priority, you get that revenue because you are the pipe and you're also the content.
Salil Mehra is professor of law at Temple University. Salil, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We wondered about another part of this. For those of you who still like to hear this when you go online,
you've got mail.
Well, we got in touch and AOL says, yes, the company doesn't expect any changes to AOL email accounts now or in the foreseeable future. And yes, there are people still paying for dial-up. Most are over 55 years old or in remote areas. AOL says those customers will continue getting dial-up from the company. Earlier this week, we talked about how Uber is raising another round of funding with the suggestion that the company could be worth $50 billion. The company has been raking in cash at an incredible rate. What is Uber doing with all that money? Here's one kind of expenditure. The ride-hailing company is offering potential drivers with bad credit the opportunity to finance new cars through Uber. It could be a win-win for the company, but as Sam Harnett reports, that interest rate isn't low.
Richard Bunnell is 58 years old. He thought Uber would be a nice retirement job. Now, he feels trapped into driving for the company.
It's like a ball and chain. It's ridiculous.
Bunnell got a car through Uber's low credit finance program. His loan payment is about $1,000 a month and has a 22.75% interest rate. So in the end, Bunnell will pay twice what the car actually costs. At first, he thought he could cover the payments and still make a profit. But now Brunel says he's working just to break even.
I'm still driving a few days a week trying to make the payment because if I don't make the payment, they're going to come repo it. I've already fallen behind a few. I'm just trying to get by.
Here's how the financing plan works. Uber connects low-credit drivers to dealers and lenders. Then it's up to the driver to negotiate the terms of the loan. Uber deducts the payments directly from the driver's monthly earnings. Uber says thousands have used the program. It had me talk with driver John Hutcherson, who says he's happy with the loan.
Just the thing about it being no-hassle financing was really the thing that attracted me.
Hutcherson says working with Uber was easier than going to a dealer by himself because his credit isn't so great. Uber spokesperson Kristen Carvel says that's the point of the financing program. It helps people like Hutcherson get cars. And to boot, drivers get a little discount on the cost of the vehicle. But if you don't drive, you still have to make the payments. Hutcherson says he had to dip into his savings when he stopped driving because of two accidents.
The way that this deal works is that when you're not working for Uber, you pay for it out of your own pocket, you know, like you do with a traditional car loan.
Another troubling aspect is who Uber partners with. It's working with subprime lenders like Santander Consumer USA.
This is one of the most notorious subprime auto lenders in the United States.
William Black is an economist at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, and a former bank regulator. He says Santander is known for predatory practices like sky-high interest rates and hefty fees. Uber works with multiple lenders, says spokesperson Carvel, and they provide loans for people with all kinds of credit. Richard Brunel isn't impressed. He feels like Uber would deal with anyone to get more drivers on the road.
I feel like Uber not only tossed us to these wolves, but they intentionally did it, and they're making bank on it.
Brunel says he's stuck. It's either drive or the repo man. Now he's going online to tell others not to take the financing and get trapped like him. I'm Sam Harnett for Marketplace.
And jetpack might be an understatement for what this guy is using to fly around Dubai. Professional daredevil Yves Rossi, who calls himself Jetman, is technically flying a jet-powered wing. He looks kind of like a miniaturized F-16 fighter jet. He's stunted through the Grand Canyon and around Mount Fuji, and now he's taken a terrifying cruise around the space-scratching spires of Dubai's buildings. I watched the video. If you suffer from vertigo, do not go to facebook.com/marketplacetech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.